Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Pei Hei. We are holding on Daf Pei Dalet and Beis about 5 lines from the end of the page at Tani Chada. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. And we thank him very much for the sponsorship, for the continued sponsorship. What we're going to have today is first we're going to have a stira, whether we are mevi v'korei when the fruit doesn't grow in a field, when it grows in an unusual place, like a gag, a churba, an atzitz, a svina, all of those unusual places. And we're going to try to resolve the stira and also try to figure out how that stira in the brisos fits in with both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Gemara is going to conclude before the Mishnah with a mashal for the various tricks that Moshe Rabbeinu did when he went to Mitzrayim, and we use a mashal relating to grain, and that's what it's doing over here. And then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss which fields not to bring grain from for the Korban Omer and the Shtei Lechem, and how to maximize the quality of the grain for the Korban Omer and Shtei Lechem if you have a field from which they're going to bring that grain. The Gemara is going to discuss how much plowing they should do in the second year when they're trying to maximize the quality of the grain. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the psul of worminess for both grain and for wood. How much worminess, how wormy does it have to be in order for it to be psul? And that's going to relate to both the grain as well as any wood that a person is misnadev to bring on the Mizbeach. Then the next Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss where to get oil for Menachos from. If you want to get the highest quality oil, where do you go? What kinds of fields in that location would yield the highest quality oil? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of the qualities of people from Tekoa, because Tekoa is a place, apparently, where they would get oil for Menachos. So we're going to talk a little bit about Tekoa. So says the Gemara, 5 lines from the bottom of the page, paid dollar and base. Tani chada shabagag shabachor v'shabbat v'shzina mevi vikorei. We have one brisa that says that if you're bringing peros from that grow on a gagu churva and atzitz svina, you're maybe the bikurim. You bring bikurim from such a peros, and you even read the pesukim that the mevi bikurim is supposed to bring, because they're included in asher tavi me'artzecha, that they're considered to be part of the something that grows in the land, and therefore you're supposed to be maybe bikurim in kore v'tanya idach. And yet there's another brisa that says maybe ve'eno kore, that you do bring bikurim when peros grow in these areas, but you're not korei the parshas habikurim, because it's not considered me'artzecha, that by the bikurim it says that it's supposed to come me'aretz. The Achronim raised the question, and the Sivus HaKodesh raised the question, that if it's eno korei because it's not considered karka, then it should be eno mevi also, because by Havas bikurim it also says v'lakachta mereshis kol pri adama asher tavi me'artzecha. So if a gag of a bayis is not b'chlal eretz, it's not b'chlal adama, then one should not bring bikurim from it at all. And in these, and also the churva she'ena avuda, natzitz she'ena nakov, v'svina shel eitz, one should not bring from it at all because it's not considered karka. So why does the brisa say that in those places where maybe ve'eno kare, and it's dochak to say that it's a takonas chachamim, because you bring these things into the azara, and if you have no chiyuv to bring them, it would be a violation of chulin la azara. So it wouldn't make sense for the chum to be misakein that one should be maybe bikurim when you don't have to actually bring the bikurim, because maybe means maybe in the azara, and that's going to be a problem of chulin ba'azara. So that's tamakasha. But over here we have a stira in brisos as to whether one is maybe v'kore or maybe v'eino kore when the peros grow on a gag or in a churva or in an atzitz or in a svina. So the Gemara says, well, bishlam Reish Lakish, I understand both brisos work very well according to Reish Lakish, who holds that if you bring the peros from a place that grows inferior types of peros, that it's still going to have kedushas bikurim, so the brisos can be reconciled with one another, that you bring peros from you bring bikurim from peros that grow in these places. It's just that sometimes you curry, sometimes you're not, and we can explain that as follows. Gaga gag lo kasha, the steer as to whether you're maybe v'kore from a gag or maybe v'eino kore when it grows on a gag is not a kasha. Ha begag de ma'ara, Gemara, Vaha Begag Debayis, that the first braisa that says when it grows on a gag, your maybe vikore is talking about the gag of a cave, which is considered like the actual karka, and the second braisa that says that your maybe veinokore is talking about when you plant it on top of a roof that's on a house, which is not considered like karka, and therefore it's maybe veinokore, because it's not considered to be me'artzicha, and that would reconcile the stira. That's how Rashi in the Ksav Yad explains. The Rush writes in the Tshuvas HaRush Klal Beis Simin Dalid that even a gag of a bias is considered to be mechuber lekarka, and he says the reason by a gag of a bias that it's mevi veino kare different than Rashi, it's because the peros that grow on a gag are not considered ikar artzicha, because they are not the high quality peros, and similar to what we said from the Tamarim Shabaharim, harim are considered artzicha, it's just that they don't grow the best tamarim, so that's not ikar artzicha. And he says this is clear from the fact that the Gemara is going to say later on that a churba she'ina avuda is mevi ve'eno kare. A churba she'ina avuda is obviously karka, it's obviously artzicha, it just doesn't yield the best peros. So churba, speaking of which, so to answer the stira between the two brisos about churba lo kasha, that's also not a stira. Kan b'churba avuda, kan b'churba she'ina avuda. The first brisa that says that you are, that you're mevi vikore is so about a churba that you plowed for the purpose of planting, so you already were toreach and you worked it, and therefore it's considered me'artzicha. Whereas the second brisa that says that you're mevi ve'eno kare is so about a churba she'ina avuda. So it's not considered to be like karka, it's not considered to be me'artzicha. Otzitz lokasha, and it's also not a stira about that which grows in a flower pot, because kan b'nakuv, kan b'she'eno nakuv. The first brisa that says that your mevi vikore is talking about where there's a hole at the bottom of the flower pot, so it's yonek from the ground underneath it, and therefore it's considered part of the ground. The Mishnah says in Maseches Tamai, when it comes to meiser and other mitzvos atzilus ba'aretz, that anything that grows in an otzitz nakuv is considered to be growing in the ground. Whereas the second brisa that says you may be the eno kare is talking about a flower pot that does not have a hole in it, and therefore it's not considered to be really part of the ground. And therefore, you're not kare the mikro bikurim when it grows there, because it's not really me artzicha. Svina asvina lokasha, and it's also not a stira as far as what grows in a boat. Kan bisvina shal eitz, kan bisvina shal cheres. The second brisa that talks about that which grows in a svina being maybe the eno kare is talking about a wooden boat, which is not considered part of the ground, and therefore, if you bring from it, it's not bechlal me'artzicha. Whereas the first brisa that says that you are me'vivikore is talking about a svina made out of cheres, which is made out of earth, and therefore it's considered to actually be growing in the ground. That is how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos just points out that it turns out that it's inconsistent, because we had stiras about gag and about churva and about atzitz and about svina, and we answered all the stiras except when it came to gag and churva and atzitz, we said kan and kan. The first kan was the first brisa, the second kan was the second brisa, and yet svina asvina, all of a sudden we said kan besvina shleitz, kan besvina shlecharis, but the first kan is the second brisa, and the second kan is the first brisa. So it's out of order. And Tosfos has a radically different pshat that he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam. But anyway, all of this is to make sense of the stira and brisas according to Reish Lakish. That according to Reish Lakish, that who holds that if you grow tamarim shebaharim, you grow the tavua shebaamakim, that it still has kedushas bikurim, so we can reconcile these brisas. Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if you bring Bikurim from Peros that are not high quality Peros, and they are not Niskadesh at all, they don't have any Kedusha at all, neither Brisa works, because even the second Brisa says you're maybe Bikurim from Peros Shabbagaga and Shabbachorba Shabbatzav Shabbasvina. Rabbi Yochanan would say there's no Kedusha Bikurim at all, you don't bring it at all. So that's aside from the fact, meaning Reish Lakish had a Halbatzara, so he had to deal with the stira between the two Brisas, but at least each Brisa would would make sense according to him that it has kedushas bikurim. Rabbi Yochanan, neither brisa makes sense to begin with, and then on top of that, he's got to deal with the stira between the two brisas. So says Gemara Tanaihi, it's in fact machlokas tanaim, and both of these brisas are against Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan has a different brisa that sides with him. Titania, because we have a brisa shabegad v'shabechurba, maybe v'kore, that since those places are considered to be real karka and they can grow even high quality peiros, but shabah atzitz v'shabesvina eino maybe kol ikur. If it grows in an atzitz or a svina, you're not maybe bikurim at all. And even if the atzitz is nakuv and the svina is of cheres, since the peiros that grow there are not quality peiros, they are low level peiros, Rabbi Yochanan holds they cannot have kedushas bikurim. They will never become something that has the status of the bikurim. They are comparable to the tamarim shebaharim and the tavur shebaamakim, where Rabbi Yochanan says it does not have the kedusha of bikurim. V'kulanein bos elamin amuvcher. So we said that you're supposed to bring from the choicest of all the peiros, and we discussed what is muvcher. So we identified certain places, and the second highest quality place you can get grain from is a place called Aforayim in the Bika. So the Gemara brings a maisa that relates to the fact that Aforayim has a lot of grain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that when he first shows up to Paro, he's supposed to make certain osos to demonstrate that he has God behind him, and he should do them in front of Paro. So Amalei Yochna Umamre L'Moshe. So Yochna Umamre, the Chartumim and the Rosh HaMechashvim of Mitzrayim, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tevenat HaMachnas Aforayim, you think you're going to bring the remnants of grain, you're going to bring straw, you're going to bring Teven into Aforayim, which is a city full of grain? And it was a mashal that they were saying, that you're going to do some tricks over here in the capital of all Kishuf in the world, and you think you're going to impress us with that? There's no greater Kishuf in the world than in Mitzrayim. So why do you think these osos that you're going to do? We can do similar osos. We do this all the time. That's not going to prove anything to Paro. You think that a parlor trick is going to do something over here? So Amr Luhu, so Moshe Rabbeinu responded, Amri Inshi, Lemasa Yarka, Yarka Shkol. When you're to a place that grows a lot of vegetables, you should bring vegetables to sell. Because since it grows a lot of vegetables, anyone who wants to buy vegetables knows that they're supposed to go there. And that's where you're going to find the buyers. So I'm doing the same thing. I'm showing these osos dafka in Mitzrayim, because everyone comes here to see Kishuf. So I'm doing my osos over here, because anyone who wants to see good tricks, they come to Mitzrayim to see that. Meaning it's a reality of a marketplace, is that if everyone knows that that's the place that you can get the very best of something, because that's where all the mokrim are. So you go there. You go to the diamond district to get a diamond. You go to the garment district to get a garment. That's where you're supposed to go. That's how the Shindu Gwetz explains. The Miyuchas Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was responding based on the question they were asking was the Leitzanus. So he responded with the Leitzanus, meaning that wasn't really the answer, because the real answer is that he's not doing Kishuf. That you're going to see that the quality of what he's doing is entirely different. There's a Ran in Drushas, in the third Drushas Haran, where he says that Yochani and Mamre thought that these osos that Moshe were doing, he was doing with his own tachbulos, with his own kishuf, and they do the same thing. So he told them when he so they said to him, why are you coming to Mitzrayim, which is full of that kind of tricks? So he said, the masa yarka yarka shkol, that a person who has a very high quality of something will never know how high a quality it is unless you're able to bring it to a place that has similar items, and then you could see through by comparison just how high a quality the item is. So meaning if you're the only guy in town that's selling vegetables, no one's going to know the great quality of your vegetables. If you go to a place where everybody else has supposedly quality vegetables and your quality is so far superior to what they have, then it will be recognized. recognizable. So that's what the mashal is, that just like a vegetable that's more meshubach will sell better and will be more appreciated in a place where there are a lot of vegetables, so too when I dafka came here, because what I'm bringing you is with chachma seloki. It's not with chachma enoshis. It's something that's on an entirely different level than anything that you've ever seen. And that was the mashal that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. Okay, now new Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses other details of where to bring the grain of the Minchas Homer and the Shtei Alechem from. So Ein Mavin Lo Mi Beis Hazvalim. We don't bring the grain from the Minchas Homer and the Shtei Alechem from a field that you need to fertilize in order for it to grow proper grain, because maybe you're not going to fertilize it properly, and the grain is going to be shvach. It's not going to be so strong, and we don't want such grain from menachos or for these menachos. Lo mi beis hashlachim, nor from a dry field that doesn't have enough rainwater and that needs to constantly be irrigated in order to grow proper grain, because again we're afraid that it's going to be a little shvach. It's not going to be such strong grain. Velo mi beis ha'ilan, nor from grain that grows in a field that has trees, because the trees will suck up a lot of the nutrients from the field, leaving less for the grain to be able to nourish the grain, and therefore you're going to end with weaker grain. Vim hevi kasher, but if you bring them in or shtei alechem from grain that grows in such fields, then it is going to be kosher. Tosos points out in Maseches Pesachim and Dafir Aleph that you shouldn't wonder that you shouldn't bring the, if it's min haTorah that you're not supposed to bring from these places, then why b'dieved im hevi kosher? Because Tosos says there are a lot of things that are dinim min haTorah, but you need shana alav la'akev, that without shana alav la'akev, im hevi is going to be kosher. So over here also, since it's not shana alav, it never says it twice to teach me that it's ma'akev, so that's how I know that if you bring from these places that it's still going to be kosher. So now the Mishnah explains, now that you have a field that's not a Beis Ha'ilan, it's not a Beis HaShlachim, it's not a Beis HaZevel, you have the right kind of field and the right kind of location, you still need to be able to grow the grain in the best possible way in order to bring the carbonos from that field of the highest quality. So what should you do with this field if you want to yield the highest quality grain? Nora shana rishona, you plow the field in the first year and you don't plant it, you just plow it and leave it that way. Ubashana shnia, in the second year you plow it and your zora kodem lepesach shivim yom, and you plant it 70 days before Pesach on the fifth day of Shvat. That's where the strength of the sun is going to shine on the grain and it's going to get stronger and stronger, and the tavu is therefore going to be very high quality. Vuhu osasolus meruba, and it's going to create a grain that's going to have a high yield of fine flour. Ketzad bodik ha-gizbar, how does the gizbar check to see just how fine the flour is? Machnis yadu l'tochan, olaba av avak psula achiyinafena, that he sticks his hand into the flour, and when he pulls it out, if there's dust on his hands, and it doesn't just slide right off of his hands, then it's pustle until they sift it again, and make it even finer, that it should slide right off of his hands. Vimitzliya psula, and if it became wormy, then it's going to be pusle, and it's not going to be good enough to just sift it again. It's just pusle if it's wormy. If it's wormy, the Rambam explains in the Pirush Mishnayos, because the pasuk says tmimim yiyu lachem viniskehem. So we mean that the nesachim, namely the solas, the shem, and the yayin, have to also be tmimim, and therefore if it has worms in it, so then it's not considered tamimim as far as the solus is concerned. Ketzad also narashana rishona, so we said in the Mishnah that they plow it the first year, and then in the second year they planted 70 days before Pesach. Bayilu, hechi kamar, what exactly did the Tana of the Mishnah mean to say? Narashana rishona ushnia nara vizora odilma narashana rishona ushnia zora below nara. Does it mean to say that in the second year you plow it before Pesach and then you plant it, or does it mean to say in the first year you plow it and then in the second year you plant it without plowing a second time at the beginning of the year? So Tashema, says the Gemara, will bring a raya from a brisa. Titania, the brisa tells us, Amr Biosi, Af Chite Krezim Ukfar Achim Ilmale Smuchas Yerushalayim, that if these areas were close to Yerushalayim, if they were in the mountains and the sun would shine on them, they'd produce good peros. Hayimavin Mehen, we'd bring Tavua from them for the carbon omer. Lefishein Mavin, the summer element Minasadas Hamudramos. And because you're only supposed to bring grain for the Karban Omer from fields that are toward the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, the Hamenunaros and Lekach, and fields that are plowed for the purpose of harvesting the grain for the Karban Omer, Shebehen Chamazorachas, where the sun shines on them all day, Umehen Chamashokaas, and the sun that shines on them still shines on them close to Shkia Sachama at the end of the day. And the places of Chiti Karzayim and Kfar Achim are in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, so had they been close to Yerushalayim, we would bring Bikurim from them. So Ketzadosa, that part of the Brisa was not the relevant part. The relevant part is next. So Ketzadosa, what do we do to produce the greatest yield or the highest quality yield from this field? Nara, you've plowed the field, Shon Rishon, in the first year. Ushnia, and in the second year, Choresh Vishona. You plow it again, and the second time, you plow it twice. Vizora, and then you plant it, Kodlan Pesach Shivim Yom, 70 days before Pesach, and Chamesh Shvat, Kedei Sheitei Smucha Lechama, so that the planting should be close to the time that the sun is about to get stronger, because as you get closer to the summer season, the sun obviously becomes stronger and it's going to improve the quality of the grain. Va'osa kana zeres, and it's going to yield a type of grain where the stalk of the grain is the thickness of a zeres, vishibolis rasayim, and the top of the grain where the actual kernels are is going to be zrasayim, it's going to be two zereses, so it's going to be very wide, very strong grain. Kotzer ma'amer, and the Brisa explains everything you need to do to prepare for the Karban Omer. So after it grows, you harvest it, and then you pile it, vidash, and you thresh it, vizora, and you winnow it, uborer, and you do borer, vitochein, umerakein, and the grinding, and the sifting of the flour in order to produce the best flour. So that was the preparation of the tevuah for the Karban Mincha by the owner of the field, and now the Brisa says how they would bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, who may be Eitzel Gizbar. They would bring the solas to the Gizbar in the Beis Hamikdash, and the Gizbar machnes yadu l'tocha, he would stick his hand in it, im also ba'avak, if any dust of the grain, of the flour rather, would stick to his hand, omer lo chazor v'nafeo sashniya, he would say, go sift it again. Mishra Rebinasan amru Gizbar sach yadu shemen. Rebinasan says that he had a better test for it. He would first cover his hand with oil, moisten his hand with oil, and he put his hand into the soles, and it would have to be such fine flour that it would adhere to the oil on his hand, and any pieces that were too clumpy to stick to the oil on his hand, that would be an indication that it wasn't sifted enough. But so that price gave us way more information than we were looking for. All we were trying to figure out was how many times did they plow, if at all, the second year. Right? The Mishnah said in the first year they plow and don't plant. In the second year they plant 70 days before Pesach. How much plowing was done in the second year? So there was that one line in the Brisa where they said, oh, they did a bunch of plowing that second year. Then in the second year they would be Shnia, Choresh Vishona. So you know that they plowed twice in the second year. So Katani Mias Choresh Vishona. So that seems to be the answer to our question. So it says Mar Lutaimeich, you want to prove from this Brisa what the Mishnah meant? Masnizalo Katani Shona. The Mishnah certainly didn't say that you're Choresh twice. The Brisa says you do it twice, meaning the Brisa is not necessarily an explanation of the Mishnah. It could be that the Brisa is in disagreement with the Mishnah. So halo kasha, kan bavuda, kan b'she'ina avuda. That's not a kasha, because it could be that the Mishnah is talking about a field that was already plowed before the first year, and therefore you don't need to plow it twice during the second year. Whereas the Brisa is talking about a field that was never plowed before the first year, and therefore we're going to need to plow it twice during the second year. But the fact that we're talking about a field that is that has been pre-plowed is a little bit dachuk, because it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. So it's difficult to be poshet that from the Brisa. It could very well be that the Brisa just argues on the Mishnah and requires shtei charishos in the second year, where the Mishnah clearly did not require that. So my haviyala. So how do we paskin in the end? Meaning normally after you just resolve the difficulty, you wouldn't say my haviyala. But the Gemara is saying, we understand that this is a little bit dochak to make an ukimta in the Mishnah, that it's talking about a case of a field that was pre-plowed. So what exactly is the answer to our question? question. Do you plow the field again at the beginning of the second year before the Shas Hazriya or not? So Tashema says, we'll bring another Raya. Detanya, there's a Brisa that talks about growing grain for Menachos. And it says, Nar, that you plow the field, Chetzia, half of the field, you leave the field fallow after it's plowed, Vizorea Chetzia, and then you plant the other half of the field, and then in the second year, Nar Chetzia, Vizorea Chetzia, you leave the other half empty, and you plant the first half that wasn't planted the previous year. So you see that they plow the field only once prior to the Zriya, and that was in the prior year. But in the second year, they don't plow prior to the Zriya, only at the Shas Hazriya. So Rabbi Yochanan explains which field they bring Minchas Omer from. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Mavien Es HaOmer El Misadus Hamudramo Shaberet Yisrael. They would only bring Bikurim, they would only bring grain rather for the Korban Omer from the southern field, the fields in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, Sheben Chamas Zorachas V'Chamas Shokaas. They have the best sunlight exposure. Tani Nami Hachia, we have a Brisa that supports this, and Abishal Omer, Omer Hoiba Mi Bikas Beis Mikla. The Omer would come from a field in called Bikas Beis Mikla, in an area called Bikas Beis Mikla, Bibas Shalosh Si'in, Kivas Shalosh Si'in Haisa. And it would grow three sitin of grain, meaning it was large enough to grow three sitin of grain. V'sadim u'dremes haisa, and it was in a southern area. U'bacham zarachas v'men l'cham shokas, it had maximum sunlight exposure. Nor they would plow the field in the first year and leave it chetzia, leave half of it plowed and unplanted. V'zorei chetzia, and they would plant the second half of it, and in the second year nor chetzia v'zorei chetzia. So Gemara brings a maisa, someone who plowed his field the way they would do to produce grain for the Korban Mincha. Rav Chilki Bar Tuvi Havalei Karna Da'ara. He had a piece of land that was was in the corner of a certain field. Nar, and they plowed and left half of the field, Vizara Chetzia, and planted the other half. Nar Chetzia, Vizara Chetzia. Then the second year they flipped it. Va'avdal Chatrei. And the field yielded grain, so much and such high quality grain that it was twice as much as what would normally be expected, as what the field would normally yield. Umazmu l'chiti l'smida, and he would sell the wheat that grew in his field for making the solas for very wealthy people. Meaning, when people wanted very high quality food, that was the place that they would go to get their grain, which had a reputation for being the highest quality grain available. Then we said v'mitliya psula. However, if the grain became wormy, then it is puzzle. So the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses what exactly, how wormy is wormy. If the majority of the flour is shetliya, it's puzzle. V'chitin shetliyu ruban psulos. If the majority of the wheat is wormy, then it is puzzle. By Rabbi Yirmi wasn't sure, what do you mean chitim shetliyu ruban? Berov chita or berov sa'a? Do you mean that each stalk of wheat was rove wormy, but if you had chitim that were not wormy, they're going to be kosher, even though the rove of the chitim in that sa'a were wormy? Meaning you could pick out the ones that didn't have any worms in it and use them, they're going to be kosher, even though they're coming from a crop that was wormy? Or berov sa'a? Or do we assume that rove sa'a of chitim she'etliya is going to be possible, and you're going to disqualify that whole crop, even though some of it is not wormy, but rove of the sa'a is wormy? Take who the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Let's say you were makdish, wormy grain for a korban mincha. Do you get malchus for bringing a balmum as a korban? It's a violation. The Gemara in Temurid Avav says it's a violation of chamisha lavin. It's a violation of bal taktishu and bal tishchetu and bal tizruku, bal taktirukulo, bal taktiru miktsaso. So the Gemara learns all of these lavin from different psukim. So are you in violation of that? Kiven the pasul kabal mum dami. Do we say, well, since it's possible to use on the mizbeach, it therefore is the same as bringing bring a balmum, odilma in balmum el behema, or maybe no, maybe balmum is only something that's nogea to a behema, but some other psul in the grain is not going to be considered a balmum. Take who the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. Tanan hasam, we have said in the Mishnah in Mesechas Midos that kol eitz shenimtza bo tola'as, any piece of wood that has worms in it, pasul gabim mizbeach, you're not allowed to use it for the mizbeach, for the wood that would produce the fire that burns the korbanos, because a tola'as is something that is a davar tamei umushukatz, and it's not proper to burn it on the mizbeach. The Kiryas Sefer explains that an eitz metula is not good for burning, and by the eish on the mizbeach it says uvir alea kohen eitzim, so you need eitzim that are ro'i levi'ira, that you would say are ideal wood to use for firewood, and this is not ideal wood to use for firewood. Now it's interesting, when it comes to the grain, Rabbi Yirmiya had this comment that it's only sheitliya, or the Brisa says sola sheitliya ruba is psula. Rabbi Yirmiya said, oh, what's rov? Rov of the grain, rov of the crop, rov. But when it comes to the wood, we don't have any such discussion. There is no distinction between rov and miut like we did by the grain. So the Radvaz writes in Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach that since by the flour and by the sal of chitim, it's not so easy to recognize the worminess unless it's very wormy. So that's why we say that if it's rov. But when it comes to the eitzim, the hatla'a is very nicker. So even if it's just a little bit of hatla'a, even if it's just a little bit wormy, it would be recognizable and we'd be very quick to disqualify it. So Amr Shmuel lo shanu el lach aval yavish kor rov kasher. A piece of wood is only disqualified on account of being wormy if it's also moist. But if it's dry, it's easy to scrape off the wormy part, and then you could use the rest of the wood, which is going to be perfectly fine. So by Rava, hikdisho maushi yilka lo mishum balmum. If you are makdish such wood for the mizbeach, Minchas Chinuch brings a raya from here that the suffix of the Gemara is dafka gabe a person's misnade veitzim lekarban. But when it comes to the atzei maracha, you definitely don't get malchus for it because it's not a karban, and that's how he explains the Shitas HaRambam as well. So they explain Shitas HaTos that way and Shitas HaRambam as well that way. But anyway, so Iktishu Mal Shilkala Mishum Balmum. Do you get Malkus for bringing Balmum? Kivin to Pasal Kabalmum Dami? Do we say, well, on the one hand, it's Pasal and Mizbech, and therefore it's like a Balmum? O Dilma in Balmum, El Behema? Or maybe a Balmum only is Nogaya to a Behema? Take the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. Now, this whole discussion of worminess may play a role in terms of a discussion of Halach. When it comes to chametz bePesach, there is a machlokas rishonim. If a mouse bites into a piece of wheat, whether we assume that piece of wheat has become chametz on account of the saliva of that mouse. The Torah quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz that yesh noagim to be borer the chitim prior to the grinding them for afias matzos, because maybe a mouse bit from them and the saliva is going to be machmetz the chitim, and some say it's not necessary to do that because roke is meperos and meperos are not machmitz, meaning roke is not actually meperos, it has a din like meperos, and meperos are not machmitz. So Rabbeinu Peretz says, no, roke is not at all like meperos, that are not machmitz, and in fact is machmitz, and the Mishnah says that a person should not chew on the chitim and put them al makaso because the roke will be machmitz them, so you see that it is machmitz. Okay, so there's a whole discussion about that. Where does our Mishnah come into the picture? So the Shiari Knesset HaGedolah writes that if you hold that Neshichas Achbarim is Machmetz L'chitim, there's a Chashash Chimutz by Chitim Mitola'as as well, by Wormy Chitim as well, because it could be that the Roke of the Tola'im is also Machmetz L'chita. So the Chida asks, that the Gemara Pesachim says that Yotzei your Chovas Matzah with Pas Hadra'ah, and the Ran and the Ramban write that means pas mitula'as. It means that it's wormy. So the Chazon Nachum, he says that the Shiur Knesset HaGedolah is incorrect, because you see from the Mishnah in our sugya that solas sheitlios pasul menachos. Why? Because it's ainu min hamuvchar. The Yisr is mishum hakriveu na lefachasecha, that it's inappropriate to bring such things for menachos. And Tosfos writes that it's pasul by all menachos, by the Korban Omer, and Minchas HaOmer has to be from matzah. But if you're going to say that anytime it's metula, you have to worry that it's machmitz, so then you have a more fundamental problem. Forget about rakivyolfachasecha. It's not going to be matzah, it's going to be chametz. Okay, it's Pesach, so we have to mention the raya. So now says the Gemara, says the Mishnah rather, Tekoa alfa l'shemen. Tekoa is the best place to get shemen. Abishal lomer, shniela regev be'ever yardin. The second best place is regev be'ever yardin. Kala ratzel seyuksheros, el mikano yimivin. All places are kosher to get shemen from, but these are the best places. Ein mivin lombi beis hasval. You're not supposed to bring from olive trees that need fertilizing, lombi beis hashlachim, nor that need irrigating, v'lom min mashen nizra b'nehem, nor from you shouldn't bring shemen from zaysim that have other things planted in between the olive trees, because it's gonna deplete the nutrients that would otherwise support the trees. They may be kosher, but if you do bring from such places, it's kosher. Ein mevin an paktan, the may be kosher. You're not supposed to bring what's called in the Megillah shemen hamar, that's made from olives that are not ripened properly for karmelos mincha. But if you do, it's going to be kosher. Ein mevin min hagrigrin shenashru b'mayim. You're not supposed to bring shemen from menachos, from olives that were soaked in water, where the water is considered to ruin the shemen. V'lo min hakvashim, nor from olives that were kavush, that were soaked in vinegar or salt. V'lo min hashlukim, nor from olives that were cooked in water. It may be possible, and if you do bring from those, from such olives, that's even possible. That's meaning, whereas in the previous categories in the Mishnah, im hevi kasher, these are actually going to be a psul. So once we mention Tekoa as the very best place to get oil from, so we'll talk a little bit about the qualities of Tekoa. Ve'yishlach Yoav Tekoa v'ikach misham isha chachama. Yoav in Sefer Shmuel Bey sent to Tekoa to find an isha chachama. Maishna Tekoa, why dafka Tekoa? Why, if he needs to find a wise woman, why can't he find her in some other city? So the Marsha says, maybe he knew of a wise woman in Tekoa, and that's why he was looking for that particular wise woman. He says, no, that can't be the case, because then it would have said, Ve'yishach Yoav li'isha ha-chachama li'Tekoa. It would have described him sending for the isha ha-chachama. No, he was saying, I need to find a wise woman. Where am I going to go to find one? Tekoa must be the place to find a wise woman. Some Rabbi Yochum, talk to Regilin b'shem and Zayis, chachma matzu yiben. People that have a lot of shem and Zayis tend to be very wise. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa that describes the bracha Moshe Rabbeinu says, and v'zos bracha to Shevet Asher, v'tovel b'shemen raglo. Moshe Rabbeinu says, zeh chelko shel Asher. That's the chelik of Asher, shemoshech shemen kemayan, that they have oil that flows like a mayan. So Amru, they say about people that live in this area of Shevet Asher, pamachas nesuchlanan shelutki b'shemen, once the people of Utki needed oil, minulen pulmostos echad, and they appointed a non-Jew as a shliach to buy them oil. He said, go and bring us a certain amount of shemen, and we'll give you Meir Rebo a lot of money. So Halach Yerushalayim, the guy went to Yerushalayim to look for that amount of oil. So Amrullah, the people of Yerushalayim said, Lech Litzor, we don't have that amount, go to Tzor. Halach Litzor, Amrullah, they said, Lech Lugush Chalav, go to Gush Chalav. Halach Lugush Chalav, he went there. Amrullah, they said, Lech Etzel Ploni L'sada Alaz, go to a certain person who sells oil in this field. So Matzu Shaya Ozek, Tachas. So they found him digging under his olive trees. So Amrullah, they said to the Jew who owned this field, Yesh lecha shemen b'meir ribo, do you have enough oil to supply for the massive amount of money that I brought to buy oil? Shani tzarech, I need you to sell me that amount of oil. Can you supply that amount of oil? So Amrullah, the Jew said, Hamtaini li'at she'asayi melachti, wait till I finish my work day. Himten at she'asayi melachto, he waited till he finished. Lachar she'asayi melachto, hifshel kele v'acharav, after he finished, the Baal HaSada put his kelim behind him so that it shouldn't get ruined, and he went outside of the field. And he kept on removing stones as from the field as he was going toward the road. And all of these things are the way that aniyim normally behave. They don't have enough peros, so they don't want to have the peros damaged by the avanim, so they remove the avanim. So the guy thought this guy is an ani. The Nachri thought this guy must be an ani. So Amar Lo, he said, Yesh Kashem Meir Ribo, are you sure the way you're behaving? Are you sure you have the amount of oil that I need? It seems like I'm being played, they're playing a practical joke on me by sending me to a guy like this. Once he got to a city, his shivcha brought out a jug of hot water, and he washed his hands and feet. Then his shivcha brought out a golden a basket full of oil, and he dipped his hands and feet into it. Then they ate together and drank together. He measured out meir ribo of shemen. He said, can I get you some more? So Amlo Hain, he said, I would love some more, L'sheni Damin, but I only brought this amount of money. Amlo Matarotzi Likach Kach Vani Elichimach Vetel Shemin B'Shmon Asaribo. Don't worry, I'll give you up front the oil, and you'll pay me back later when you get more money. So Amru Loi Niachos Ish Lo Sus Lo Periv Lo Gomav Lo Chamor Perit Shol Shalos Secharo. He had to hire every available U-Haul in all of Israel in order to bring that amount of oil. Kivin Shigil Yiro, when he got to a city, Yotzu Anshe Yiro Lekalso. The people in the city came to praise him. Amalem lo li kalsu niel lezeh shabayim. It's not me, it's this guy. Shamad li shon meir ribo. V'areino shabi b'shmon asrei ribo. He even gave me more than I needed, so then I'll pay him back later. L'kayim mashenemer, yes mishasher ve'in kol misroshesh v'hon rav. That sometimes rich people don't act rich. They act in the way that you'd expect a poor person to act. And sometimes poor people act like they're very rich people. You can't always tell from the way a person is behaving how much money he has. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up from there. Have a good day, a good night, everybody.